Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke. He is the founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now, Craig, I want to step back a little bit when it comes to the gold market and what is driving price and talk about these macro fundamentals or macro drivers for the gold price. We're going to start off short term, then look more long term, because short term, a lot of the drivers that seem to be on tap, at least over the next month, I think are going to revolve a bit more around economic data and even more so around some of the vaccine news and potentially a vaccine rollout in some countries. Let's start with economic data because as much as maybe some people don't want to accept it, the data has shown that the U.S. economy is still bouncing back. Maybe the recovery has slowed a little bit, but overall, some of the data that we have seen has been relatively strong, and that has dissipated some of the flat-out fear trade and recession trade that we had earlier on this year. Take us through some of the short-term drivers, starting with economic data that you're going to be watching.
Yeah, you're right. That probably hasn't helped. And some of the data now is starting to roll over a little bit, too. I mean, we just got some news today about Los Angeles going into full lockdown. You know, all that's not going to help. And there are probably now at least 10, maybe 11, 12 million people that are still out of work since March. And they're going to need a lot of help as well. So I think on a from a data standpoint, it'd be interesting to see what the jobs report is on Friday. And it'll be very interesting to see how the month of December unfolds. We've got to watch this Senate election down in Georgia on January the 5th, because I think a lot of folks think that if somehow the Democrats take both of those seats and gain control of the Senate, then it's just going to be pedal to the metal in terms of deficit spending and stimulus and that kind of stuff. So there are a lot of things we're going to keep our eye on the next month. But you're right. There's this smash where gold and silver are about the only things that went down from November the 9th through November the 30th. Stock market was up, copper was up, crude oil was up, the dollar was down, the bond market was stable, but yet gold and silver both took it in the shorts pretty good. What we're now seeing in the short term is just typical bouncing kind of stuff where anybody that wants to be long or wants to buy some metal is watching the price fall. And so they think, well, I'm just going to wait a little longer. Maybe it's going to come down even further. And some shorts maybe continue to pile on. And then you get this really sharp reversal that's driven by short covering and an immediate kind of greed trade, kind of fear of missing out. And now we just need to see if this now has some legs. There'll be some important levels to watch. I'd say probably 1860 in gold and 25 in silver. We'll see how those trade here in the next few days. We're going to want to watch, like I said, obviously the reaction to the employment report on Friday. We're going to want to watch the dollar index closing below 92 on a weekly basis last week, open the door to this drop you're seeing this week. And if you pull up about a five-year chart, at least of the weekly candlesticks on the dollar index, you'll see a close below 91 is going to get a lot of people talking about 88 and 89. And it, boy, oh boy, if that plays out, we've seen a couple of extended multi-week declines just this year, just in the last 8 months. If that plays out and we start moving toward, into the 80s, well, that's probably going to help the metals too over the next couple of weeks. So there's a lot of moving parts in the short term that people can keep their eye on. But that probably lends a discussion more about the long term. And that's really more where my interests lie.
Yeah, fair enough. Just another comment, though, on the short term here is that the dollar dropping, yeah, it can help the metals, but as you outlined, during November, precious metals might have been one of the worst performing assets out there, underperforming everything. So that does distract money. And also some of the economic data, even some of the weak economic data, very much overshadowed by this vaccine optimism, which does seem to be moving along. I think Europe is planning on rolling out some vaccines by as early as next week, possibly. So we'll see how all that progresses.
Corey, what's frustrating, though, Corey, and this gets to that kind of fear of missing out. I think everybody sees that. They see that kind of disparity, that jaws, if you will, between everything else going up and gold and silver going down. And especially silver, you think, well, why is silver going down? It's really just industrial metal. Copper's at multi-year highs. Crude's going up. And so that can, though, feed that fear of missing out thing. Because if you're aware that every other market's been going up for the last 3 weeks, and for whatever reason, gold and silver have not, people can pile back in pretty quick once they're confident that that has turned and they think maybe it's going to move to catch up. So that's definitely something that needs to be on your mind, too.
Yeah, fair enough. But let's move to the long-term catalyst for gold here. And there's one main catalyst that all the gold bugs are pointing to, and that is stimulus right around the corner. Although right around the corner, we don't know what that means because of how the U.S. election at least has played out right now and still the divided government that we have there. Either way, we should get some spending package. But again, if that spending package takes a month or two to actually get implemented, depending on how the vaccine is working, that spending package may be a little bit less than especially some of the gold bugs are thinking. How are you balancing out the spending package being on the horizon, but it not being a clear-cut driver?
Well, I think there's a relationship there because, I mean, I thought they'd get something done before the August recess. It was so clear they had to do more for the 10 or 12 million people that are still out of work. I mean, you've probably seen on the news, we've got queues of cars, 1,000 miles or 1,000 long, a couple of miles long, of people just to get a sack of food. You know, so there's definitely a need for some direct cash. And unfortunately, what they're talking about, it doesn't involve that. May in the future, I know Powell certainly is dying for what he calls non-conventional fiscal and monetary policy. But I, you know, for me, I'm not too caught up in that. I know that type of stuff has to continue. And I'm just draw back to what got me so optimistic beginning about 2 years ago right now. I mean, you remember we spent a lot of time in 2019 comparing it to 2010. And that was a time when gold hadn't been above 1350 for 6 years. But the reason for that was we'd reached a point in nominal interest rates north of 3% for the 10-year that just simply wasn't sustainable. And we had all these liquidity issues come to the fore and you know, trying to manage the existing debt, both public and private, above that level. The Fed had contracted their balance sheet as far as they could go. They were running into liquidity and money supply problems. And everything reversed almost exactly 2 years ago in November and December of 2018. That led me to think that we'd get to 1520 was my goal for last year. It's almost exactly where we finished the year. Knowing that that fundamental stuff wasn't going to change this year, that the Fed had to keep pushing rates lower and that real rates were going to turn negative. I mean, I expected we'd get to 1800 this year. And again, that was not even, it couldn't even spell COVID in January. That was just on this basic macro stuff. And so now you throw the COVID into the picture and all these new lockdowns that are coming. And like I said, the multi-million amount of people that are suffering, you know, we've got commercial mortgage issues that are coming. We got regular mortgage issues for people that are coming. We got multifamily dwelling, apartment complex issues that are coming from people that can't pay their rent. You got 2/3 of all businesses in New York City or restaurants in New York City now permanently closed. I mean, this is long-term damage. And you throw that onto the fire of what was already there when the year began. And, you know, I just keep focusing on that, Corey, because it kind of blends out all this daily noise. Yeah, it's frustrating to watch gold and silver go down and the mining shares go down over 90 days. But that's exactly what they did last year at this time. And the fundamental picture didn't change last year as we went through this. And, you know, now we're 20% higher. I don't see a reason why we shouldn't expect, you know, another 20% year next year. And if that's the case, you know, we can sit here and pull out our hair and bitch and moan and groan and everything about, God dang, look at that. Look at my mining shares, this and that and the other thing. But if we're sitting here a year from now talking about, you know, $2,200 gold or $2,300 gold, this is all going to be forgotten by then. So that's why I like to try to keep focusing on the big picture, on that macro. And if we get the macro right, then we can just kind of make proper investments, proper asset allocations, and then do as the Bitcoin people do. You just kind of hold on for dear life.
Well, they are on a wild ride right now. But
yeah, they
you
are.
Know what? It's a more fun ride than what gold has been going through the last couple months.
But you got to be into that kind of thing. I mean, I got a little Bitcoin. I got a little Litecoin. And it's fun. But I in no way do I see it as an alternative to the physical medal I have. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Now, Craig, as much as you're pointing to what's going on with the people unemployed, businesses struggling, it does seem, at least stimulus does seem to follow what the markets are doing. And I get right now, you look at some of the overall sentiment and sentiment for U.S. markets, it's kind of surprising. It's at highs from 2018. Sentiment has gotten extraordinarily bullish. So yes, maybe there does need to be a slowdown, even a pullback in U.S. markets. But stimulus packages, again, hinge a lot on what markets are doing. So does that mean we're waiting for a bit of weakness in the U.S. markets that then transfers into what dictates policy, which then would lead to a stimulus package?
I don't know. And isn't that sad that we even have to have this discussion? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's millions upon millions of people that, you know, whatever, maybe they were living beyond their means and all that kind of stuff, and then they lose their job. Or you had people that weren't and were simply working two jobs just to make ends meet. There's all these millions of people, especially now at the holiday season, you know, and yet the politicians here in the U.S., all they do is, you know, dither back and forth. Look, I know we've probably talked about this before. I mean, I was flying one of those Gadsden flags off my house and going to Tea Party rallies in 2009 because it was out of control then, you know, and they're like, well, you can't bury the next debt and, you know, generation of this kind of debt and all that kind of stuff. But here we are now, 10 or 11 years later. I've learned a lot, obviously, doing what I've done for the last decade. And at this point, it just doesn't freaking matter. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, they're going to print these fiat currency into oblivion. And so why they think, you know, a politician thinks they're earning political points by only giving an additional $300 a week in unemployment benefits versus another $1,200 direct check or something. I mean, it boggles the mind. And so then getting back to your question, to think that politicians would only act to help the little guy if suddenly the mutual funds held by the top 5 or 10% of income earners start going down. I mean, that's perverse. Isn't that sad? That's sick. But anyway, I don't mean to digress into a political discussion. But moral of the story, man, Corey, the Fed, the Powell has been begging in his public appearances lately for more stimulus so he can monetize it and keep the M1, M2, M3, all of those monetary bases growing. Okay. They need inflation to control the debt. Okay. If they're ever going to try to get out of some of it, they're going to have to inflate it away. And so I guess the final part of this monologue soliloquy sermon I've been on, the final part is, understand this is coming. The Fed is begging for it to happen regardless. And that is going to be an overriding element of 2021. And I'm just going to keep focused on that big picture because I don't see any other way out for the Fed or for the politicians.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to wrap it up there, Craig. Look, we are all still focused on the stimulus package. We just don't know what the stimulus package is going to be. I think we all know that there will be some stimulus, but I think some of those expectations of just a massive spending bill do need to be tempered a little bit. But hey, we'll see how it all plays out because there's a lot that's going to drive that stimulus package in the next couple months and doesn't seem like it's going to be done in a month or even a month and a half. So a lot for us to talk about in the meantime. Craig, thanks for your time today, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your day and a great weekend.
All right, my friend. Have a great weekend.